starting. We're on Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph. We have to cover Friday's daf, which is Chaf Zayin, and Shabbos' daf, which is Chaf Ches. We have a lot of work ahead of us, so please hold on. And I don't understand a lot of the stuff, so we're learning it together. Reb Nosson Shaul, so he asked, Loi Mistavra, is it not logical to say, Begaga Shel Goyvel Shnei Tefachim? We talked about in the Mishnah that if you have a border, which is a tefach, so we allowed 12 around the border and one in the middle, which was a total of 13. Now, he's asking, let's suppose that the border was not one tefach wide, but was two tefachim wide. So could you do two species, meaning one next to the other, so you would end up with a total of 24. Let's take a look at the footnote 2 a little bit, how he explains it. I'm going to it. It follows this case of a two tefachim wide border, another set of three species filling up the second tefach of the borders with, would be planted with each one positioned directly behind the one planted in the first tefach. So in the first diagram A, he has the species literally back to back of each other, which I thought was a little surprised by that. That seemed to be an unreasonable suggestion.
That should work,
but that's what the Gemara seems to be saying here, according to this.
Because it's too small of a patch.
It says over here, because each tefach-wide area on the raised border is considered a domain unto itself. Okay? Now, there is a second option here where you use the Rosh Tor method, and then you have in diagram B, an alternative shot where they're not directly behind each other, but they're at an angle to each other, so each one has a Rosh Tor at each other's angle. That would be allowed, yeah. And then there's a third shot here, it's from Chaim Knievsky, that there's actually two adjacent patches separated from using a two tefach wide border. And then he has a different picture over there. You can see Ayin Shom, we see a third shot. Anyway, whatever the question is, the Gemara does not answer the question. We're just going to move on. I should say three that say that this was a rhetorical question, asserting that this is in fact permitted. So, could be. That's mutter. Second question, Rab Nosa. Sho'al, osa peya ba'emsa. What if he put four poles in the ground in the corners? Now we're talking about a six tefach square, and you put four poles in the four corners of the six tefach square, and you put a braid of reeds from pole to pole. That's what he means. Osa peya ba'emsa. He fixed a braid of reeds from pole to pole, cordoning off the 6x6. Zara begoyim mosin, and he planted a different species inside that area. Mashko bekama. How far must the species in that area extend? Okay. So this is all very strange over here.
It's sort of like an
area. So yeah, but you see, having an enclosure can create a lot of problems, as we've seen earlier. Let's take a look at five. The 6x6 area is seen as distinct from the area surrounding it, so that different species can be planted there, although it is not separated from the species outside the 6x6 area by the requisite distance. Right? Normally you need 1.5 tefach between one plant and another. Over here, you don't seem to have that. It's planted right up against the 6x6 square. But what you did was you created a mechitza inside that. So let's see. So that's number one, there's no space. Furthermore, although the species planted in the 6x6 area is enclosed on all sides by different species, we've already learned that it's forbidden to close in a species with other species. Nonetheless, since it's cordoned off as a distinct area, meaning because you have the mechitza, so maybe that's also a reason why it should be mutter. Okay. So is this a question or a statement? It says Mishko Bakamo. Let's see what it means. So must, this again, this is a little, the Gemara here is difficult for me personally, because the Gemara is hitting these inyanim always with two opposite svaras. Sometimes the svar is, if you just have a minimal amount planted, and you have the requisite distance, you're okay. Other times, it's because it's a minimal amount, it's not chashuv. If it's not chashuv, then it doesn't, it's not mutter, because it wasn't planted enough. And that, you know, to know when you apply which svara, I haven't figured it out yet. But so over here, so I'm just reading it, you know, at this point. I guess maybe if you, the second time around, we'll get a better idea about it. But right now, I'm just trying to absorb what the Gemara is trying to say here. So in 6, it says, must the entire 6x6 area be planted? See here, this is the svar that they're trying to promote here, that you need a whole area planted. Do we say, since the 6x6 area is surrounded by another species, so the species planted there cannot be considered distinct unless the entire area is planted. But if less than that is planted, it's not significant. Or perhaps as long as the 6x6 area is cordoned off, so then it's distinct even if only a small section is planted. So you've got the two svaras. You've got the mechitza working in one way, and you have the fact that you're planting the whole thing working another way. So how does it work? That's the Gemara's question. Mishko b'kama. How much of that area, if it's surrounded by the mechitza, needs to be planted? Okay, let's keep going. Minmado amar Yitzchak Ravdimi. So there was something that they said explaining the mission before. Tiftosha gavla mamat and shisha. So then we can deduce that what? That the borders will actually reduce the area of the 6x6 patch. How do you see it? Hadorma afilu para mikan. So that tells us even if it's less than 6x6 area may be planted. So what is we talking about here? 1 second. 8. Right. We said that that if we had a species on the border, that it, I don't know if you remember, we said if you had the species planted right around the border, so we said it reduces the 6x6 area, because since you need 1.5, so you have to move in 1.5 on each side. That's 1.5 and 1.5. So that's 3. So the 6x6 becomes really 3x3 once you have it planted. So since you see that if you plant it on the borders, that it reduces the area. That's what it says over here. Mm-hmm. So it emerges that although the entire 6x6 is not available for planting, but nevertheless, you can plant there, albeit among other species. So what I understood from this is that you don't have to plant the whole 6x6 area. You just have one plant in the middle. So Hadom Rafil Paramikan, so therefore even less than the 6x6 area can be planted. Okay, that's what it's saying. The Gemara compares the heter, a 6x6 cordon off area in the middle of the field, to the heter of planting multiple species in a small area with a border. Just as concerning a patch where there's a considerable confusion of species, it considers the species planted in the patch distinct, although the entire 6x6 patch is not planted, so too concerning the case of the 6x6 cordon off area, another species could be planted there, even though it doesn't fill the whole area.
But this svara is not adding any value to the poles, to the presence of the poles, right? It would be
right. And the poles are acting like the border.
But if so, they're not acting as like a heker, that would be the main svara behind why it's okay.
Yeah. I guess I don't know. At Heichon, so to what extent can you diminish the planting area? Nishmina min hadot. So it says over here, although the whole entire 6x6 area does not have to be planted, perhaps there's a minimum amount that has to be planted. So it says, let's learn it from here. Gumamiyos shenamukas tefach. If you have holes in the ground that are a tefach deep, a tefach wide, a tefach long, zoron l'sachar shloshes aroina. You can plant 3 plants. Akamikan, one on each side, Vakamansa, one in the middle. So inside the hole itself. So they have a picture here on 13. See accompanying diagram. You see the way that it's a there's a hole in the ground. Species C is in the bottom of the but you have to do the whole bottom. Okay? Species C has to cover that entire tefach. You can't just plant one seed in there. It has to cover the whole bottom.
Then it wouldn't be connected.
The point is, it has to be a chush of an area. Hadomar tefach tells us you can diminish the planting area only up until a tefach, but if you want to plant an area smaller than a tefach, that's usur. You can't plant less than a tefach. That's the rule.
Are there rules about the depth of it?
No, that's not the main point. The depth is a tefach over here. If it wouldn't be a tefach deep, then it would be mu'urav. You need that tefach to make it distinct from the top species. I think so. Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to do the next thing. So now the Braisa talks about the holes in the field. We're going to talk about another section of the Braisa. The four species can plant in the hole one tefach deep. Let's see what it says about that. Rabba bar Kahana Shem bar Nasheya b'Shem b'Shem ben Lakish b'Noitim l'churva shanu. That the four varieties of seeds can be only where the plants are leaning toward the barren area. Otherwise, they can't be planted. So what does that mean? So the question here, exactly what this Gemara is really doing here. It says over here to look at Rish Lakish on 32a. I didn't look at 32a.
And how it flows in the last Gemara? Is that the question?
Yeah, this doesn't really belong here. It says in footnote 16, it has no bearing here. It's repeated because the section of the Braisa is a continuation of the Braisa that was earlier with the holes. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky explains what? He's qualifying the section of the Braisa cited above which permits one variety of seeds inside a one tefach hole, and one on each side. Rish Lakish says it's only two sides of the hole. That is to say, the east and west side, for example. But the north and south sides have to be unplanted. So that might be why he's saying it over here. So benoitim l'churva shanu means that only two sides can be planted, but the other two sides have to be barren. Not 100% sure what it's doing here. Moving right along. The Gemara now goes back to this. This is choppy. I apologize, but I don't know what else to do here. Amar of Ze'era. So now we're on 27b. Kol tefach v'tefach shel goyvel. Also, I say makom fnei atzmo. Every single tefach, each square in the surrounding border, is in the raised border, is an independent domain. So in other words, we had said earlier, as you recall, then the raised border you were able to plant 13, four on each side, three on each side rather, and one in the middle. So he's saying that each one of these squares is a separate domain in and of itself. So what does that mean? So he's going here. The Mishnah means to permit 12 species along the border, each one planted in an area one by one tefachim. If they're planted in this manner, the two species in each corner will inevitably be touching each other, as shown in the diagram. Why is this permitted? So it must be because every tefach of a raised border is a separate entity. In other words, this is assuming that there's no Rosh, this is assuming the pshat of the Rash, that Rosh Tor would not be allowed. So if Rosh Tor is not allowed, so in this diagram, you have the corners touching each other. How are they able to touch each other? So the only heter that they can come up with is because it's a domain, each tefach is domain by itself. Therefore, they're allowed to touch each other. Okay, that's what it says over here. According to the Maraponim, Abzera does not derive his principle from the Mishnah. Rather, he assumes so logically, he means to permit planting not only the border itself with the requisite separation, but also on the vertical surface that makes up the one tefach height of the border. So here he's planting not just the top, but he's planting the wall of the tefach as well. So in the diagram, he has the top gray and the wall is gray as well. So it was concerning this that he said each tefach is an independent domain. The species on the vertical surface on the border can be planted directly underneath the different species on the border. So in other words, it sounds like, I don't know why he has this picture, this funny picture here. It says over here that it sounds like the vertical and the horizontal are actually two different medium. You'll have one this way, one this way. And the reason why that's mutter is because it's an independent, each tefach is an independent area. Yeah, those roots are going to for sure touch. It's not clear what the pshat in the Gemara is. Now, the Gemara then asks a question. In other words, what Rav Zeira, first of all, it's not clear what he's trying to tell us. And second of all, like now we're going to ask another question, which makes it even wilder. The U.S. and Vachamisha. Now the Gemara is asking them, if they're really independent, so draw. In this top right diagram over here, you have it's 8x8, right? So you've got the four corners. Ignore the four corner boxes. The four corner boxes have to be blank, and I'll tell you why in a second. So we have six boxes on each side. That's 24 boxes, and they can be right next to each other. Because why not? If they're independent entities, then may as well plant them all. So why do we only allow 13? We should allow 24. That's the Gemara's kasha. Now, why can't you do the corners? The reason for that is because they don't, it says in the notes here, they don't surround the patch. The corner boxes aren't surrounding the patch. They're at an angle off from the side of the patch. So the fact that they are surrounding the patch is what gives them, I guess, a distinct identity. Not sure. But anyway, but that's what it says. Because they don't surround the patch, so they cannot be planted. So you have 6x6. So frankly, come on, let it be 24. You are together 25, right? She shall call Geibel for Geibel, six on each side, Echmanso, one in the middle. Vechenhu, now this is another question. What does Vechenhu mean? Is it indeed so that it should be allowed? So that could be a question, or maybe it's a statement. Vechenhu, that's taka the way it is. In footnote 4, it's not clear exactly how to read this Gemara. Rash Sirlio renders this statement, that renders this phrase as a statement. The Gemara is saying that indeed, three more species are allowed on each side. So it's not 3-3-3, but it's actually 6-6-6. And the Gemara is saying, chein ho. But others are wondering that it's not a statement, but it's a question. Oh, that's a question how to learn the Gemara. Hasa rabun rachia b'shem rab shmuel bar b'yitzchok. So we have another difficulty. Hasninon. If you have a furrow or a water channel, Shena Mukim Tefach, it's one Tefach Div. So Zorim Lusaychan Shloisha Zorim, you can plant three varieties. Echemikan, Echemikan, Echemansa, one on each side and one in the middle. Now, it's not clear what this Gemara means, what this Telem thing is. This is Machlokes Rishonim. Between the Rambam and the Rash. So the Rash learns that we're talking about you've got a hole in the ground. The issue here is how wide is the hole in the bottom? So the Rambam holds it's a tefach in the bottom. The Rash holds it's six tefachim in the bottom. So you have it goes down a tefach, and then you have six tefachim on the bottom. So you basically have 6x6, only it's in a hole. So the Rash says that when it says you plant three, it means you plant one on the bottom, on one side, one on the bottom on the other side, and one in the middle. So the question the Gemara is asking is, Nisni Chamisha, why does it teach only three? If you have six by six. So we know that when you have a 6x6 section, you could have shnayim mikam. That's our Mishnah. That's our primary Mishnah. When you have a 6x6 square, you can have five species. So why are we limited to three? That's the way the Rash learns the Gemara. The Rambam learns, the Rambam is going to be a little difficult, but you have to say the Pshat in the Rambam is like this. Excuse me. You have only one tefach below. So one tefach below is no question. You can only have one species planted there. And then you have one species planted at top. The Gemara would be saying, based on the previous Gemara, that you could plant on the vertical wall. If you can plant on the vertical wall, so plant on the vertical wall one and one on the other vertical wall one as well. Why are you limited to three? You should be able to plant five. That seems to be the question, according to the way the Rambam will learn. Okay. Les yachil. So this is not possible because tzad shekan, v'tzad shekan chavish l'shom tzai. The reason why you can't do that is because if you were to have species on each side, it would be surrounded. So because it would be surrounded, that would create another problem. So that'll explain why you can't have 24 squares planted as well, because if you had 24 squares planted, you're also surrounded. So that might answer the original question. Why does it say you can only have 13? Why can't you have 25? The answer is you can't surround it and fill up every single box, because if you're going to do that, you're going to surround the whole inside. That would be the pshat over here. Okay? So that, in footnote 9, he goes through that. He says, although each tefach of the border is regarded as an independent domain, the separation must be left between the species so that the patch is not completely enclosed. Two novelties emerge from the Gemara. First, the prohibition of closing in a species applies not only to grains, but even to yarukos. Second, that applies not only when the inside species is surrounded by one variety, but even when, what? It's surrounded by many different varieties, which I've already pointed this out already. Okay. Let's go on. Rabbon bar chiyo b'shem Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak boy. So he asked the following question. Goyvol ma shiyatzal sayarek miyad mukcha. What's the rule whether a raised border can save a species of yarek planted on one side from being considered klayim with a row of melon-like vegetables planted on the other side? Again, melon-like vegetables, usually they require a much larger distance. They require actually 12 amos, I think. 10. He brings it down over here. Let's see what it says over here. Klazel leaves spread out extensively. Mishnah below in Halacha 5 on 32b rules that onions or other yarukos may not be planted between rows of gourds, even if they're separated by 1.5 tefachim, unless the rows of gourds are separated by at least 12 amos. So here we have a new shear, 12 amos. It's 24 feet or 18 feet, whatever it is, right? If they're not separated by 12 amos, another species cannot be planted because the species will not be perceived as distinct. So the Gemara wonders, is that Isser relaxed when there's a raised border separating between the Urukas and the row of gourds? Maybe, in that scenario, they're not looked as closed in since the raised border separates between it and the gourds. So does a border, this is the thing he says, what the Gemara inquires, does a border separate between a row of melon and Urukas so that the Urukas are not seen as closed in by the two rows of melon planted within 12 amos of each other? And save from the Klein prohibition. Okay, does that make sense? It sounds to me like you have melons planted over here and melons planted over here, and there's less than 12 amos between the two, and you have some border in the middle square, and you're putting your ruckus there.
It's not the same plant?
It's not what?
Does it matter if it's the same plant?
What do you mean by the same melon. Plant? It's not a melon.
What is it?
The melons are on the side. Okay. You can't plant melons next to yarukos.
Okay.
Onions, for example. Right? You have to have 12 amos. But let's suppose you don't have 12 amos, but you have a border. The question is the border going to make it separate and distinct? That's the question. Okay, that's Govo Mamshi Yatzel Sayark Miyad Moksha. So Gemara answers, Ma'am drawing Bizroyim, Shahini Solim, Esaram, Sumechzo, in Hagovo Matsum Yodom, was making a Kavachimer. Marach if by seeds, which is, you know, grains, for example. By Zroyim, Bizroyim, we say what? You normally need 10 amos, 10.2 amos, whatever it is. That's like a base raiva, right? The Gemara just calls it 10 and a half. They rounds it up. 10 and a half amos that you need, and in that case, the border doesn't save any species from another species. Even if a border separates them, you still have to have the 10 and a half amos. So we're going to call so moksha, shehu nitzel b'shtem esrei, like kol shekhen. So if you have a vegetable, like a melon, which requires 12, it requires even more than the grain, right? 12 is more than 10 and a half. So surely the govel went up. In other words, the Gemara is just simply saying, if this requires more distance because it's even more musubach, so surely the govel will not help you. That's a simple kavachimer. Now the Gemara asks, muksha atzmo, what about the melon-like vegetable itself? Ma'o shiyatzel v'rosh ha-govel, can it save itself by being on top of the border? So this is not so clear exactly what this meant. So here it says over here in footnote 4, actually 3 would be the first thing to read. He says the previous question was regarding melon planted with yerakot. This inquiry is only melon-like species. So footnote 4. This inquiry concerns a case in which the melon is planted in between gourds and Egyptian beans, which is your favorite plant, Egyptian beans. Don't you like that? Yeah, I love Egyptian beans. As we've already seen, the law concerning melon alike is to plant your rocks between them. There must be 12 amos. The Gemara later cites Rabbi Yochanan as differentiating between your rocks planted between melon, in which case 12 amos are necessary, and one of the melon-like species planted between other such species. So, again, Rabbi Yochanan says on 31a that there's a difference between Yerakos planted between melon-like species, where you need 12 amos, and where you have a melon-like species planted among another melon-like species, right? Such as gourds and Egyptian beans. So if you had gourds and Egyptian beans, which are both melon-like, so there, only 8 amos is necessary. Okay? I'm not sure of all the svaras here, but let's just accept the facts. Rabbi Yochanan says, if you have a melon-like and non-melon-like, you need 12. Melon-like and melon-like, you need 8. That's what it says. Okay? That's what he says. If there's less than 8 amos, the melons cannot be planted. The Gemara wonders whether, in such a scenario, is it permitted to plant the melons on top of a border. So, Gemara said planting on top of a fence with a species different than the ones around it was allowed. So the Gemara wonders if perhaps too, planting on the top of a border with melons, even though other melon-like species on the other side of, on either side of the melons are not 8 amos apart. So, again, this is a question, how far is border going to help you? That's basically the question. Now, here the Gemara says a really funny thing here. It tries to make a kavachimer, which makes mamash no sense. Here's the kavachimer. Ma im zroim bizroim. The Gemara tries to attempt to make a kavachimer, which I'm telling you right now, it's not valid, so don't get upset that this makes no sense. I'm telling you in advance, it makes no sense. The Gemara is going to ask and say right after it says it, this makes no sense. The Gemara says a kavachimer. Ma dachim zroim bizroim. Which are nitzol b'asar amos u'metzah and nitzol b'reish ha'gavel, if you know that by grain, which requires 10 and a half, it's not saved with a border. So, mukshe shehu nitzol b'shmoyna amos, if you have a melon, with a melon which is saved in 8 amos, lo kol shekein, isn't it surely not saved with a border? Right? You ever see a kavachomer like this? Right? Marach, if it's something which requires 10 is not saved, so this which requires 8 surely is not saved. Makes no sense. 8 is less than 10. So you can't make a kal vachomer from something which is more chomer.
My guess is that statement's right.
What?
Mine says 12 in the second part of it.
One second. Wait a second. That's not going to be. That's going to be against the facts. One second. Not mine.
Mine has 10 and 12.
Al Kafkas? Al Kafkas? We don't have any different Gersa here. That's why I'm trying to make sure that you're with us. You're in the same Gemara.
Mm-hmm.
Again, my says, my imzorim b'zorim shehin nitzol b'esra amas u'metzo ein nitzol b'roish ha'gaybol muksha shehu nitzol b'shmona amas. Your says shtemes, right? I think in the wrong spot. Lo kol shekein, and then it says Amar Rabbi Yudon. Is your next line Amar Rabbi Yudon? Maybe you're before.
Sorry.
Before it said shtemes, right? That's correct. It's exactly the same kavach hamer, so you could easily give us up. So the Gemara says Amar Rabbi Yudon avoid Reb Matanya. So Rabbi Yudon says v'hein hu kol shekein. Is this a valid kavach hamer? It makes no sense. The 8 amas separation for melon is a leniency compared to the case of the grains, which require 12. So the kal v'chomer makes no sense. Okay. El ha'chein hu. But rather, the kal v'chomer is like this. Ma'am z'ram b'z'ram, sh'nit z'olim b'ezra amal metza, en et z'olim b'reish ha'gaybel, mokshe shun nitzel b'shtem esrei, l'kol sh'kein. So then the Gemara turns around and makes the same kal v'chomer made before, and drops the 8 out of the kal v'chomer and throws back in the 12. So what's going on over here? So if you don't know the Gemara, you don't look at the footnotes, the Gemara makes no sense at all. We just said it was 8, now we're saying it's 12. The answer is, there's a machlokas. Reb Yochanan is the one that said it's 8. There's a bar plukta of Reb Yochanan, and his name is Chizkiah. In the middle of footnote 9, he says that the Gemara is shifting its attention to the view of Chizkiah, who holds that there's no difference between melons and yarakos and melons and melons, you still need 12. So the Gemara ends up saying this kal v'chomer to prove that the govel will not help according to Chizkiah. Okay. That's what it says over here. Next. Next Mishnah. Okay, now we're up to halacha beis. Kol min zroim in zorim baruga. So anything that's a type of seed, you can't plant it in a garden patch. In other words, the heter that we said in the first Mishnah that you can put 5 in a garden patch, that's only if you're doing urakas. It's only if you're doing vegetables. If you're doing seeds, you're doing the grains, no good. Common urakas are in baruga. You can plant all types of seeds that are vegetables in the garden patch based on what we said before. Okay, anything else here we have to know?
The reason behind that is we don't know the direction the seeds are going to grow.
Okay, so you want to know the reason. So that's what 12 is discussing. What's the difference between Urakas and Zeroim? Okay, let's go through it because it looks like it's important. So let's see 12. The law that you're allowed to plant in a small patch is only applies to a class of vegetables known as urakos, because these are normally planted in small patches. And therefore, they don't appear to be mingled. It does not apply to classes of vegetables known as zroim, because they're normally planted in a field, and they appear mingled when planted within a small patch. That's the differentiation it says over here. Okay. Now he brings over here the brackets from the Rambam that both Urakas and Zeroim are subsets of a larger category of plants known as garden seeds, which includes all plants whose seeds are not eaten. Of these, some are normally planted as small, some as urakas, and are known as urakas, others are known as zeroim. I don't know, whatever. So the first reason we have over here is because it's based on the size it's normally planted. Alternatively, he has another shot. The difference between urakas and zeroim is that the latter draw more nourishment from the ground than do the former. Okay? So zeroim cannot be packed into small patch arrangements because The latter. So the latter, meaning the zeroim, right. So zeroim take up more nourishment than vegetables. That's all. So it's based on the draw, okay? So since zeroim draw more nourishment from the ground than vegetables, so that's why they're usher in a smaller area. Okay. Anyway, he's got more here. I'm not going to read it inside. Ayin Shom, footnote 12. There's more stuff in here. So, but that's the answer to your question, Shamsi. Yeah? Is it satisfactory? Okay, so let's read the Mishnah again. Kol Mizorim Ein Zorim Baruga. You can't put, let's call them grain seeds, in this small patch. Kol Min Yerakas Zorim Baruga. You can put all kinds of vegetables in the patch. Hacharoa Afunim HaShufin. Mustard and smooth beans. Shuf is smooth, right? Afunim the beans. So you have chardal, you have mustard and smooth beans. Min Zorim, their classification is Zorim, and therefore they cannot be in the small patch. Afunun hagimlonin. Large beans are min yarek. They're a type of yarek, and therefore they can be planted in the patch. It's just the Mishnah is just giving us examples, right? Now, the Gemara now is going to expand the ruling of the one tefach high border. If you had a border originally, and then it was reduced to less than a tefach. In other words, it collapsed, right? So certain areas, let's say there was some water that eroded the size of the border, and now it's less than a tefach. So this is mamash a classic case where you started off with something was mutter, and then some outside cause causes the border to erode a little bit, and now it's less than a tefach. So do you have to start pulling out things from the ground? Because now you've got stuff planted in a fashion which is osur. It says kosher, it's valid anyway. You can just leave it. Shahaya kosher mitchiloso, because it was kosher from the very beginning. So since it was originally kosher, it stays in place. Okay? It says over here, footnote 19, he wants to know why is it mutter? Why should it be mutter? There's a requirement that you have 1.5 tefachim between plants. So once the tefach starts to collapse, you're losing the distance. That's in footnote 19 he says. Why does the Mishnah permit this? Since at this point the requisite distance does not separate between the species, he should be in violation of maintaining kliyim. So Chazonish explains that because it's clear, meaning you see that there was a raised border there originally, right? Because, first of all, most of the border has not collapsed. It means it collapsed in certain places. The whole thing didn't get washed away. One spot, two spots, it's no longer a tefach tall. So it's nicker from the beginning it was planted in an oifen which is mutter, so therefore it retains that heter. Okay? This explanation is based on the assumption the one tefach height of the border accounts for one tefach of the necessary separation. But the Gemara there does not seem to accept that notion. So it really has to be 1.5 tefachim away from the edge of the border. So when the border erodes, the species will still be separated by the requisite distance. So if that's the case, it's obvious that if it erodes, that it would be mutter. Why do you need the Mishnah to tell me that? what's the novelty, right? So that's on 28a3. He continues asking, well, this is a great question. So some say, just as we see, no more than 5 species are allowed. So 13 species are not allowed, no more than 13 species are allowed in an 8x8 patch. But the Mishnah permits it in the case of a 6x6 patch surrounded by one tefach border, because 12 of the species are on the one tefach high border. If the border would be less than tefach high, you wouldn't be able to plant the species there. So the Mishnah is teaching us, as long as the border was initially one tefach, the 12 species are allowed to remain there. So that's the pshat and the chiddush in the Mishnah. So we have different approaches here. Either the pshat is telling me a chiddush that because it's nicker, right, that it was originally a tefach, that assumes that the tefach wall was used in the cheshbon of adding to the tefach and a half necessary as a divider. If you don't learn that way, then it's telling me the chiddush that even though normally 13 would not be allowed unless there was a goyvel, and the goyvel has collapsed, since originally the goyvel was there, that we continue to maintain the heter. And this has the far-reaching consequences for other areas in halacha, where you have started off with a heter because of a certain reason, and some of those reasons may disappear. This will be a classic source for continuing the heter. I refer to the Gemara in Chulin, the famous Gemara, by Basa Nechira. Remember, the Gemara asked, what if you had Basa Nechira? That's in the midbar, you didn't have to shecht. All you had to do was stab it, and the animal could die, and you could go ahead and eat the meat. Shkita was only necessary once they came across the border. Gemara in Chulin asked a famous question, what happens if you had Basa Nechira in the midbar that you brought into the Eretz Yisrael? Does it continue to become between mutter or not? So that's another type of, it's making these kind of questions. Okay, Hatalimus Hamayim, we're now on 28a3. If you have a furrow on a channel, a water channel, we just quoted this, but now we're going to see it in the original. Shein amukim tefach, there are tefach deep. And remember I told you the machlokes between whom and whom? Between the Rash and the Rambam. How far across is the hole? One tefach. So the Rambam said one tefach, and the Rash said six. That's correct. So that's what it says over here. I'll just see if I can point this out to you on the bottom. 22. Rash maintains the furrow in no way serves as a separator between species. The requisite distance of 1.5 tefachim is necessary between species. How can the three species be planted in such close proximity? The Rash answers that the furrow and the channel are 6 tefachim wide. All three species planted in rows, one tefach wide, can be planted in the actual furrow, one on each side of the furrow, one in the middle. Gap of 1.5 tefachim between the middle ones and the species on each side. So there you got it. So, yeah. So that's the Mishnah teaches that although we've learned different species cannot be planted in the area surrounded by a fence, they can be planted together in an area surrounded by one type of vertical wall of the furrow. In fact, that's why the Mishnah mentioned the depth to stress that other species might be planted there. If the depth would be less than the tefach, of course, they can be planted together if they were separated by the required distance. In other words, the chiddush is, even though it's a tefach, it's still not considered enclosed. The deeper it is, the worse it is, right? Because it'll be considered enclosed, then you're going to have a problem. Okay, let's keep going over here. That's what I said. So I think I read the Mishnah. Yeah, tell me what's a mayim and a mokim tefach zorim b'sarkan shloshes arayim and echad mikan echad mikan echad b'am. So that's what we said. So let's see the Gemara. Okay. Acharnu hafunu hashufin min zroim. We said mustard and smooth beans, there is zroim. Shezro on liyarek. Let's suppose I planted them not with the intention of eating the seeds, which is the normal way. Normally when you plant those plants, you know, you do mustard, you plant mustard from mustard seeds. That's how you make mustard. Let's suppose I planted it and I wanted the leaves, like Chelsea brought in the leaves the other day. So let's suppose that's what you actually wanted, to eat the leaves. So it says over here, Einois and Einois and Algamber, it doesn't matter. You're still not allowed to plant them together with other species because there's a rule, like it says at the bottom, Batla Daita Eitzel Kolodom, his das is Batla, we don't care what you had in mind. And we're on the base, Chavchasim on the base. On the other hand, when it comes to the large beans, Egyptian beans, Shazar and Lazara, here normally you plant them for the leaves. And if you planted them for the seeds, then they will change the classification from vegetable to seeds. Then Einois and Einois Nagabaruga again. Because that apparently is not such an unusual thing that it should be, say, Batal Daitai. So on the yard, if they were planted for their greens, then they can be put on the edge with the other species. If you had other vegetables, then even if you made it, in other words, not the Egyptian bean, then again, you're planting it for the seed would be very unusual, and that you would say, so if I planted, for instance, a green pepper, and I had in mind, I don't want to eat the green pepper, I want to just eat those little seeds in the middle of the green pepper. That's ridiculous. Nobody eats that. And if that's what your intention was, it's not, it remains a din of vegetables. Okay, nesmai kosher. If you had a border that was reduced to less than a tefach, it's still kosher. That's referring to the seeds that were already planted in the patch prior to the erosion. But the plant there after the wall already had collapsed, also that would obviously be awesome. Let's suppose you transgressed and you violated that rule, and after it collapsed, you planted. Then what would you have to do? So here we have a surprise. We're expecting to hear that it's going to be awesome. No. We say that since the rest of the ones in the patch, which are at the one tefach height, are mutter, so then the other ones are also remain mutter as well. So, very interesting heter over here. So again, the sequence is very important here. You had everything planted beheter on the border, right? Then one of the borders collapsed. So now it's less than a tefach. Less than a tefach, that's no heter to plant there. If you were over and you planted there, since the rest of them that are already there around the border are mutter, therefore this one remains mutter also. It's going to be mutter also.
If you harvest everything.
But, we're going to say it in a second. We're going to say it right, exactly what you're saying right now. Rabbi Yirmiyahu boy. So he asked, Nicha, it's understandable, Nekru Hashniyim, if the second plants that were planted after the erosion were subsequently uprooted, then the plants that were planted previously, obviously, were mutter, because they were never also to begin with. But what about the other way, just like you wanted to say? Nekru harishonim. Let's suppose you uprooted all the original plants. No. Hashniyim, mahe, what will be the din with the shniyim? That Gemara is asking that as a question. What if you uprooted the rest of them? Now I'm only left with the stuff that I planted be'isser, right? So I had heter. Then I had a collapse. Then I planted stuff in the collapse. So before we said it's mutter in the Gemara, but he's adding another aspect. If I uprooted all the others, which were beheter before, so now I don't have that me'acher svar. Me'acher shahashar mutarim. So these are also mutter. We don't have any others to point to that there are others that are mutter because you uprooted them all. So that's the kasha of the Gemara. Gemara has a very fascinating raya to this question. Let's bring a raya from this case of tomo. If you have a mita, you have a bed that became tome, for instance. So it has boards on it. Okay, so if you take the boards away, for also as hashkadoshes, and you made new boards, for lo shino es hanakavim, he didn't change the holes. Everything, in other words, I made the boards exactly the same holes. It would fit exactly where the old boards fit. I'm not reconstructing the bed. I'm just replacing old stuff, so to speak, right? But guess what? So what did I do? I pulled out the old board, put in the new board. The old boards are still intact. They're in my shed. They still okay, still will work, but they're not new stuff, right? I just replaced the new stuff. So what does it say? Nishtaru hadashas. The new boards broke subsequently. Tameya, it's still tame, right? Because the reason why it's still tame is because the old boards are still here. So I can just pop in the old boards and it'll still be exactly the way it was before. But the yeshanos, if the old boards break as well, right, tahara, then it does become tahara. Now he says that means even if the new boards are already attached to the bed, so that means even though I replace the old board with the new board, when the old board breaks, it becomes tahara. It's very interesting. Sha'akol holech achar hayishanos. We go, everything follows the status of the old boards. It's a very strange halacha here. I don't know. It's a funny thing, no? It says over here 13. Actually, 12 is really the main tzar. At this point, there's no question that the bed is still tummy because the boards were merely removed, not broken, and can be put back into place. 13. Since it was the old boards that were attached to the bed at the time the bed was rendered tummy, the Toma status of the bed is dependent on them. Accordingly, in the first case where the boards currently attached to the bed broke, the bed remains tummy because the old boards, which were part of the bed, can be placed back into the holes, which had not changed. In the second case, the old boards broke, the bed becomes tahara, even though the new boards were attached to the bed before the old ones broke, because the bed, as it was at the time it became tummy, is now unusable. Very fascinating, right? Fascinating. So, so the Gemara is using this as a proof to our Shaila. Remember our Shaila. The Shaila was, if you had uprooted all the plants that were there planted by Heter, what's going to be the din with the plants that were planted by Isser? So Hado Amro, Nekru Hashniyim, if the second plants were uprooted, Harishanim Mutarim, and the first ones are Mutar. Nekru Harishanim, but if all the first plants were uprooted, then the Shniyim Asurim, then the second ones are Asur, because since the second ones were only mutter because of the old ones, and the old ones are no longer around, no good. All right? Now, one last piece of Gemara before we quit. Okay. Are we okay? Can we go on? A little bit more. Just want to get to the bottom of the page. Rabbi Yoino Amar, Rabbi Zair, Rabbi Imi, Trabayim, Vashem, Rabbi Yarkanon. Chad Amar, son from a god there. You can go place, we're talking about a fence, right? You can put one plant on of one species on one side of the fence, and you can put another species on the other side of the fence. When it comes to a border, you can't do that. A border that was reduced to less than a tefach is still valid. So they said two totally separate things. It's not like one is arguing on the other. These are two separate statements completely. One is talking about two sides of a fence, and one is talking about a border that was reduced. But if you would have a fence who got the top of the fence got knocked down, so now it's less than 10 tefachim, it's 5 tefachim, 4 tefachim tall, whatever, then that would not be kosher. For Layanin, we don't know, of course, Manamadom, we don't know who said what. And then the Gemara says, however, in Manamadom and Rabbi Yaisi, Rabbi Yaisi said, Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov said, again, the two names are Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Imi. So we know Rabbi Zeira said the name of Rabbi Yaakov on Simchon Lagadar, Vain Simchon Lagaival, that you could put next to a fence, not to a border. So we know, you can conclude, Havei, so you can conclude, Rabbi Imi, do Omar, Gaival Shem Smite, Kosher, Hagadar Shem Smite, it's possible we can figure that out through the process of elimination. On Rabbi Yaisi, I find of Taninan Tarbeihon. We have also learned these rulings in a Mishnah. Okay, I'm not going to go into the Gemara now. Really, the Gemara continues till the Mishnah, but that's already almost a complete page, and you've already been through a lot. So we'll start again We'll review this again tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, the business with the fence and the govel. I thank you for coming and for hanging in there.
Yeah. Go ahead.